Good afternoon. It is 2 p.m.-ish here in Muskegon. It's a little wet outside. This is Community Focus. My name is Melvin Burns. I co-host this program with my friend and brother in Christ, Gregory T. Roberts. Those of you that are regulars of the program, you know that Gregory T. has been out for a little while, but last report, he is getting better, and we expect him back in the near future. In the meantime, we will carry on. How about we start with some weather for today on this, again, this wet Friday, first Friday of March. Currently, my report says 95% chance of rain. I'm going to change that to 100% chance of rain. Low today of 38, high of 55. Oh, that's today is low 38, high of 59. Tomorrow, 90% chance of rain, low of 38, high of 55. On Sunday, expected to be windy, a low of 36, high of 48. The sun will be out on Monday, low of 43, high of 53. On Tuesday, better than 50% chance of rain, low of 38, high of 56. The temperature drops again on us Wednesday, 85% chance of rain, low of 28, high of 43. And next Thursday, those temperatures still stay a bit low, partly sunny. Low of 25, high of 34. And so a few rainy days coming up. As of now, no new snow in the forecast, which is a good thing. For those of you that follow the show, you know that I usually give my five list. And so my five list today, we know this is the first week of March. And so for my five list today, I did five things about the month of March. How does that sound? Let's go. March the 8th is International Women's Day, and I think the whole month of March is designated as Women's Month, but that day is set aside as International Women's Day, good day for acknowledge the rights of women and the struggle of women all over the world. March the 8th is also Daylight Savings Time. I'm a big fan of Daylight Savings. I could use some more daylight. So when you go to bed on the 7th, set your clock ahead 1 hour so that you wake up and get to your appointments on the 8th on time. How about March the 15th? Any of you English fans remember Beware the Ides of March from the Julius Caesar play? And the 17th is St. Patrick's Day. Remember to wear your green if you so choose. And finally, let's wrap up our five things for the month of March. How about the March equinox, also known as the vernal equinox or the spring equinox, on March the 20th? That is our first day of spring. Let's hope that it feels like spring around here as well. All right. So there you have it. My five list for today, five things about the month of March. All right. Guys, you know, I was out last week. I was in South Carolina at a funeral. Again, I still offer my condolences to Mitchell and family, and we wish them well as they deal with a significant loss. Let's get to the reason you tune into this program, which is the wonderful guests that we bring you. Today is no different. I would like for you to welcome to our program Mr. Mario Flores of the Muskegon Ironmen. Good afternoon, Mario. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Melvin? Thanks for having me on today.
It's good to have you on.
Yeah.
For folks that may not know you, tell folks a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am from Muskegon. I moved here when I was five from Hart, Michigan. So I was born in Hart, Michigan. I graduated from Mona Shores High School. Was a okay athlete. Went and played Grand Rapids Junior College football for Coach Julian. He was a great coach. Mm-hmm. Been in the pizza business since I was 15. I've had my first pizzeria when I was 19, and went on to own a pizzeria in Cloverville, Fruitport, called Antonio's Pizza. So I'm a big pizza guy. You got a big belly to prove that.
And got the evidence.
And right now, our building is, when I got it in 1997, ended up getting, I sold it to where Teddy Spaghetti's used to be there. And then Teddy's ended up going to Bella Marina. And then two young men approached me to help them build the pizza place there called now Cadena Brothers Pizzeria. That's okay. In Walterville, 30 mm-hmm. Heights, Ravanna Road. Good pizza, good pastas, and good grinders.
Okay.
So I've always been a pizza guy, and then 2003, I ended up being a mortgage guy, and that's what I do right now, Van Dyke Mortgage. I help out a lot of people when the banks say no, or big credit unions say no. I ended up getting the mortgage business when I was a single, raising three sons. I tried getting a house, and I got laughed at by the bank. It was a horrible feeling, horrible. And so when I got in the business, I found out there's more people like me, you know, or single moms, or just people that, you know, some bad things have happened to good people. And I believe everybody should have an opportunity to own their home and should be able to get a mortgage and, you know, without fitting in that box per se.
Sure.
And so I've been doing that since 2003 here at the Lakeshore.
Okay.
So I'm the branch manager. I'm proud to say we're number one in the company last year and currently in little old Muskegon. You know, Van Dyke Mortgage is all over the country. And,
okay.
And, you know, we do pretty good unit-wise.
Awesome.
2016, I got approached to take over the West Michigan Ironman, and God blessed me pretty good and opened up a door of a path to keep the team here in Muskegon. And we've been through some bumps and bruises mm-hmm. and some valleys and some highs. And, you know, I've owned the team now for 10 years.
Okay.
And so we've been through a lot here in West Michigan.
All right. Okay. Well, we could probably spend another hour talking about you fed the community and you've helped them get homes, and now you're providing entertainment. Thank you. Yeah. For people, what is Muskegon Ironman?
So the West Michigan Ironman, they are, it's called an arena football team. Uh-huh. Right? And right now, currently, until Saginaw has their first game, we've been the only arena football. So we play football in a stadium, which is at Trinity Health Arena. Mm-hmm. Before that, there was the Grand Rapids Rampage in Grand Rapids at the Van Andel. And even the top league, they were in the Rampage were in the very top league. They sold out a lot of games. They won a championship, and even that league folded. Right now, the talk of the town of all over the country is leagues come in, teams come in, and they don't have enough money to finish mm-hmm. the season.
Yeah.
And so it's very hard to get competitive teams in here, and trying to help the next young new owner get into a league without, you know, going bankrupt.
Sure.
So I'm proud to say, you know, regardless of some of the flack we do get about our competition, we've been here for 11 years now, and I've owned the team for 10, and we've always finished the season except COVID. We've always paid our bills. We've always paid our vendors. We're debt-free. We keep the ticketing pricing down. I believe everybody should be able to come to some kind of event in Muskegon mm-hmm. or anywhere and not break the bank. I mean, you get a family of four or five that can still come to an Ironman game. It's still cheaper than going bowling and cheaper than going to a movie these days. And so we're pretty proud of that, and then still being competitive and putting on a good show for the people of Muskegon.
Okay. For people that don't know, what's the arena football game? You said it's played indoors in the arena. What's the field size? What will we see when we go to an arena football game?
So if you if you get the chance to get out the game, it is fast paced. There's a lot of hitting. There is some vicious hits. Mm-hmm. There is high scoring. Usually, if not, it's a long day for the other team. but there's just, you know, it's a second chance for young men to maybe have a second chance or just keep playing the game they love, you know, without, you know, going to the next level. So for a lot of people, when they're done with football, college or JUCO or even high school, you know, mm-hmm. our kicker is young and he's just graduated a year ago. He's our kicker and one of the best kickers in our league.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a spot for them to keep playing. We promote within. So there's been players going to the next league higher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's two tiers above us.
Okay.
And some people that have gone to the Canadian Football League.
Okay.
I'd say one of the success stories for arena football is Eddie Brown. I had the privilege to block for him when I was at Grand Rapids Junior College.
Okay.
He went on to Michigan State, and I might get some people upset, but he single-handedly won the state for won the football game for Michigan State against Desmond Howard. He got tripped him up in the end zone, and State won the game. well, then after that, he went out and played arena football in York, New Jersey, and I mean, he was a stud there. The touchdown, Eddie Brown. I mean,
okay.
So he came from arena. Kurt Warner, he came from arena football.
That's right. Yeah.
Iowa. Mm-hmm. So there's different levels, different tiers. So it's just another a second chance or a last chance.
Okay.
You know, for someone to play.
Okay. So now the West Michigan Ironmen, do you play in a set division or league with X number of teams?
So we play in the AIF right now, and we have five teams. One is currently on suspension for not meeting the standards of what we feel that, you know, you got to be safe when you go play in arena football. You got to have dasher pads. You got to have a turf. You got to have all these things. And if you don't have that, mm-hmm. you know, you can't play until you have that. So in our league, there's five. Mm-hmm. And this league has been around 20 years. And after COVID screwed up a lot of stuff.
Oh,
and,
gosh, yes.
And before that, this league was well known. It was established. Mm-hmm. It was tough grit, and then it went down, you know, and we're trying to pick up the pieces and get back to where the AIF was. We won the championship last year, West Michigan Ironmen, and we're just rebuilding and bringing new teams on, and
okay.
Really proud to be part of that league. But there are several leagues out there, you know, that are trying to do what we're doing.
Okay, you talked about your players. Are your players come from? Is it former college players? Do you have players who came straight from high school?
So, like I mentioned, our kicker, Mr. Riley King, he came right from high school. He was a soccer guy. He came on at Fruitport Football, which I coached there for 22 years. He came on as a kicker. He was a soccer guy. He was our kicker in high school, and he came out. And this year, one of the rules was, you have to have an established kicker on the team. Before that, our quarterback was a kicker. Before that, there was Ben Townsend. He was a kicker for us. Mr. Diaz, before that, I think he was a graduate of Muskegon High. He kicked for them. So, but then after that, it's, you know, JUCO guys, or, you know, we have some college guys, a lot of Division II guys that are out around the league. So that's pretty exciting. And so it's not just like, hey, we're going to train you how to play football again. A lot of them already have their training, and then it's just you know, what process are you going to put them through of your organization to be successful?
Mm-hmm. So take me through a league year. I think you're got like another week or two left in your current season.
So, yeah, one of the struggles with us, I love our arena. I love the city of Muskegon. The people down there that have tried to help us, Jake LeMay specifically, he's got his hands tied because, you know, we're – supposedly a hockey town. However, I would say football is right there, especially in West Michigan.
Yes.
I would challenge that with any professional organization and high school organization. But nonetheless, Muskegon Lumberjacks are awesome. They won the cup last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so they dictate our dates. So they get, you know, they're the highest paid rent down there to the city. So they get their dates first, and then us, the West Michigan Ironmen, and then the Muskegon Risers, we pick up whatever dates are left.
I see.
So typically we start end of February, early March, and we try to have our season wrapped up in May at the latest June. I mean, we tried playing in June one year, and the attendance was horrible. There's no air conditioning in the arena.
Oh.
There's a lot of festivals going downtown. And
oh, gosh, yes. It's
be hot as hell going in the arena.
Uh-huh.
So this year we played early in January, and it's not it. You know, we're competing against high school basketball, where, you know, four teams in our area were competing for the district, you know, titles. So we didn't have good attendance there. Plus, we played on Fridays. That's never good attendance. And then we're playing in January. We're fighting the NFL. So, you know, but typically it's the end of February, early March to the end of May, first part of June.
Okay. And how's the team doing this year?
Luckily, right now, we are 4-0.
Oh, awesome.
We're playing a pretty good Central New York team that's coming here on 314 next Saturday. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about them. So there's a lot of semi-pro teams that then move up to arena kind of semi-pro. What a semi-pro team would be like, they don't pay their players. The players have to pay to play. They're typically in a soccer event venue, so there's not a lot of seating. But that's, you know, the budget's low, and that's what they can do. And they want to work their way up to being in a league similar to ours or the AAL. I mean, they're my direct competitor, so but I'm still giving them love. So the AAL is another league that is similar to us, and then they have a 12 teams that come from that structure, and then the better they do, that's an opportunity then for them to move up to what we're doing. So that's what this team from New York is coming from.
Okay.
So we're looking forward to play with them. It's a funny story. We were supposed to play them our second week of the season, but a team from Ohio bailed on us.
Yeah. So
I had to bail on them to keep my word with the team from Detroit, and it just so happens, the way it turns out, I mean, God's got a plan for everything. When he you know, closes a door, he opens another one. And
yes,
this happened with this gentleman. The same Ohio team that was supposed to play us backed out with them. And so our date opened. So that's why he's coming. And we now put him into our league. Okay. So that's our fifth team in the league. And he's going to have an arena next year at the Toyota Coliseum in New York.
Okay.
So we're welcoming them. They're probably a little, I mean, they're new to the arena game as far as what was our level. So I think it'll be competitive, but the fact that they're traveling and everywhere they said they're going to go, they show up. You don't have to worry about them showing up.
That's awesome.
That's good.
So for athletes around, when do you have open tryouts? When is that part where people are interested in maybe trying out for the team, they're able to do that?
So Coach Mitchell and our organization, this year, we had to have it mid-December. Normally, it's in January, and we roll in February. So it's an open tryout. There is a cost of $40 for each player to come out. I don't know why we do that, but our organization does that. And then the tryouts are right here in Muskegon, over at the soccer place over on Old Grand Haven Road. That's where we have our practices at that facility. And then from there, we have two open tryouts, and then we have a camp right after that, and that's where we make our cuts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so for folks listening out there, Mario, kind of, if I come to the game, what do I expect to see? I mean, what's the atmosphere like at a West Michigan Ironman game?
So I first started out as a sponsor. I mean, and before that, it was the Muskegon Thunder. And the same thing, they were in a little bit higher league, but it just, you know, it goes to what I've been saying. You have to sustain a budget. You have to have a commitment from the city. And it's hard when you're not playing competitive teams. But the reason why I loved that game so much when I was a sponsor, because there's a lot of people that are there. You're networking. It's kind of like a parties in the park, but it's inside.
Okay.
So everybody comes in. I don't know so much if they watch the game. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's action-packed, full of hits. It's exciting offense. It's bone-crushing defense. But the atmosphere is a lot of networking and just to kind of catch up. Or, I know I mentioned I'm in the mortgage business. When I went as a sponsor, you know, I picked up deals when I was there. So the networking is just endless. And I'm proud to say the sponsors that we have now, we have 59 sponsors. And I do business with all of them.
Okay.
And we try to spread the love all over.
Sure.
So we can keep having that big network of people.
Yes.
We're not going to make everybody happy. Yes. I try, and it really bothers me that sometimes we can't. But for the most part, you know, people are having a good time there. They can bring their kids. It's a family oriented. So kids come, you know, churches come, youth groups come. We had Grand Haven come out, and I had they bought like 140 tickets, something like that.
Oh, wow.
They were just there. So it's a family atmosphere with, you know, the kids, a lot of the kids go around towards the bottom of the seats where the dasher pads are. If you get a ball, you get to keep the ball.
Okay.
We owe a lot of balls this year because our balls that we ordered, and they should be here today. I was hoping I'd have one to kind of over it with you. But If you get a ball in the stands, you get to keep it. And the beginning of the season, we had these brown, ugly-looking balls, and ones are accustomed to us. We got to call out of people to, hey, because they gave the ball back, and I took their name and number, and we're going to give them a fresh new game ball.
Oh, nice.
So that's what you get to expect there. And again, sometimes it's competitive. We've had at least two or three games every year where it's not so competitive, and it seems like some of our fans think about that instead of the other games where we were, like, we played the Detroit Ravens. We were good, and they should have beat us, and we won at the last minute of the game. We played a Battle Creek Smoke team that we won on the last play of the game. That's exciting. Those are exciting. Fans want to see more of that.
Yeah. You know, I did look at your website. I do see you talked about sponsorship, quite a wide broad range of sponsorship here in West Michigan. Another thing you have to be pleased about is that you're able to get those sponsorships for the team.
Yeah, and what we're doing now is when I had Antonio's Pizzeria, I sponsored the Fury. And at that time, Tony Lisman owned the team, and he made it affordable as a sponsor. And I'll never forget that. You know, I wanted to pay this much, but my pocketbook said no. And he allowed me to make payments. So we're now going to go with sponsors can make a payment plan just so it's easier instead of maybe our biggest sponsor is GE Aerospace. I want the average Joe that, you know, as a mom and pop to have the same experience that they have, no matter their package size and affordable that they can come so we can help them network to keep their business going.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that, and we're going to keep it. The Ironman, the West Michigan Ironman, is going to go all year long now, not from February to May. We're going to go the whole year. We're going to get more in the community. We're going to do a golf outing this year. We're going to give back more to the community. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to the schools. We're going to do everything that we did before when I first acquired the team.
Okay. Mario, folks want to reach you, want to reach the team, how can they get in contact with you?
So anybody can call. My cell phone number is 231-638-0200. I get up early and I stay late, so I make sure I answer my phone. Sometimes my voice box gets full, but I will get back with you. Or you can go to my email. It's very simple. It's marioflores5484@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. Are you having fun?
You know, I will say this. I almost sold the team. For 2 years, my mom ended up getting cancer, and I was taking care of her for a couple years.
Sure.
Support-wise, financial-wise, all that. My sister and my niece, Tony, and my uncle, David. But I was in kind of a dark spot there. I thought I was a mentally tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish that on not any of my enemies or anybody going, cancer sucks.
Yes.
And see what she had to go through really mentally took a toll on me. So I wasn't a very good, you know, husband, a dad, a coworker. I was there, but not there. That makes sense. But when she finally passed, I felt a little, I hate to say it, but a little relieved. And it got me back to where I got to get back to where I was mentally and having that fun back, having my mojo back. I almost sold the team. There was a local realtor in town that knew what I was going through, and he was, you know, willing to step up and buy the team. And it just didn't work out. And I'm glad it didn't, because now my two sons are Peyton Flores and Ethan Flores.
Okay.
And then another kind of son, I've known him since he was in seventh grade, David Cadena. They're the young bucks, and I think they're going to be they want to take over the team and take it to be here a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have five sons, so they're all a facet of
awesome. Yeah.
I'm having fun. Heck yes, I'm having a lot of fun right now. And I wasn't for a couple of years, but I'm back, baby.
That's good. I'm glad you're back. Mario, we got a few seconds left. Invite folks to come out to a game, the next game.
So the next Saturday, we kick off at Trinity Health Arena at 7:00. GE is GE night, okay, and Brock Carlson night. We're going to play with green footballs, number one. We've almost got that sold out. There's about 3,000 tickets we already have sold. Mm-hmm. Come out to the game. You won't be disappointed. It'll be fun, fast, action pace, and just there's a lot to do there, and it'll be fun. It'll be really fun. And we win this game. We go to Cedar Rapids. We win that. We're in the championship back here in May.
Oh, awesome. Mario Flores, West Michigan Ironman. thank you so much for joining us today. Come back and talk to us again in the future. And thank you for providing family-friendly, reasonably cost entertainment here in West Michigan.
Awesome. Thanks again for inviting me. Please, when you see G-Man next, give him a hug for me. So I appreciate that.
I'll do that. All right, folks, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with our next guest. Good afternoon, and welcome back to our program. I guess if we had a theme today, it would be all things community sports. You may or may not recognize my next guest. I've known him for a number of years. We have with us now Ramon Avery of TCB Boxing here.
Yes, sir. Tonight.
How you doing today?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Ramon, for people that don't know you, tell people a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born and raised in Muskegon Heights, Michigan. Mm-hmm. Before I get started, I got to say this. I'm so glad I'm from Muskegon Heights.
Boom, boom, boom.
I'm a true tiger, man. True tiger, right.
Yes.
Yeah. I was born and raised in Muskegon Heights. Mm-hmm. I boxed under Kenny Lane and Troy Watson coming up as a young youth, and I love boxing. I'm good at every sport. I played every sport, but boxing is the passion for me.
Okay.
Yes.
And for folks that don't know, Muskegon has a very rich boxing history.
Yes,
in West Michigan and statewide. And you mentioned Kenny Lane.
Yes.
Folks that may not know, world famous. What's he, lightweight?
Lightweight champion.
And Troy Watson. Very good boxer of his day.
Yes.
Amazing Golden Glove boxer. So you grew up boxing in West Michigan, and you are coach, trainer. Driver,
yes.
Wake up and get the training and everything for boxing here for TCB.
For TCB boxing, okay. Taking back the community one step, one punch at a time.
Okay, let's talk about the show you have coming up, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the boxing club.
Okay,
all right. Tell the folks about the show you have coming up.
Yes, the show we have coming up is Michigan Golden Gloves, the best of the best from the West Michigan. Fight for the city championship 3 days straight. You fight the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. Mm-hmm. Some days you get passed on the 13th, first day, the second day. You're going to have to fight eventually, or you might have a pass to the championship for the state championship.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I want to back a little bit. You had an event, was it last week, 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Almost 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Tell people what that event was. Even though
that event was about Black History Month. Mm-hmm. Black History Month, I want to recognize somebody from Muskegon Heights that was Black, the first mayor. Mm-hmm. I did that. The year before that, I did the first Black principal of Muskegon Heights. So I have to always give back to where I come from. Mm-hmm. Under Arthur Phillip Ball, one of the best fighters that ever came through Muskegon Heights.
Yes. Yeah, folks that, you know, we get these young people don't know necessarily. If you've never heard of Arthur Phillip Ball, the Phil Baldwin, maybe the best boxer, one of the best boxers from Muskegon Heights, made it to the 1960 Olympics. Stories I hear is he would have won. He lost a guy he had beat before, but Phil had pneumonia.
Yes.
Between the trials and the finals. Lost about 10 pounds.
Right.
But had he not caught pneumonia, more than likely would have brought home the gold.
Yes.
So we had a rich history here in Muskegon. What made you decide you wanted to put your time into taking over this club and training?
I always did. There's two points to it. When I was real young, I used to always mention for every people. Remember that?
Yes.
We used to always go to MAP and played basketball, hockey, pool, or box. And I used to be a troubled kid, so I always cussing, fussing. Willie Burrell used to kick me out, and I sit on the side of the building and kick my legs up, and he always come out there and say, "You watch your mouth," and this. And he always brought me back in and let me come back. Eventually, I started boxing. I started doing everything. He always made sure I got involved in baseball, something. He always made sure I did something. Mm-hmm. And I became good at baseball. Mm-hmm. I was good at baseball anyway, but that we went up and went to a championship for that MAP church. And then basketball, went to a championship for that. Mm-hmm. And then I did the same thing in boxing. Mm-hmm. And he always gave back to me, so I gave back to him. And we had a dude named Skip Ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And he always say, "You and Kenneth Jameson." He's talk about me and Kenneth Jameson always. He said, "You TCB, TCB," and they always stuck with me. I was only 16 then. TCB, take care of business. You take care of business. You take care of you. You take care of business. So it always stuck with me, and it became me. I took a guy to the Nationals, Adrian Pepito, in 2021, and he came in second place. And I always told him, TCB, you take care of business. So TCB always been a part of me. Even I coached at Muskegon. This is when I don't have my old gym. So I always say, TCB, I take care of business. Take care of the community. You know, I always tell them, TCB. So then I took Keyshawn, I took him to the Nationals, and I ended up and left Muskegon. They took them, and he used to call me every day at the Nationals, TCB coach. I said, yeah, you take care of business. Yeah.
And I believe we have another guest going to join us here in the program, Kobe Lewis.
How y'all doing? How you doing?
Kobe, you get a little more light around you. Looking mysterious there, but all right. Thank you for joining us.
Appreciate you having me.
All right, now introduce yourself to our audience.
I'm Kobe Lewis. I'm a boxer for TCB Boxing. I'm on Avery Gym.
Okay. And how long have you been boxing?
I've been boxing for 3 years now.
Okay. What weight class?
143.
Okay. And you're going to be fighting in March?
Yep. One more week. One more week to Golden Gloves. Yep.
All right. You're not eating those bonbons and Hostess Twinkies, are you?
No, we eating healthy, man. Okay. Salads and protein, chicken, that's all.
Yeah. So, Kobe, how old are you?
I'm 23.
Okay. So you've been boxing since you were 19, 20. Yeah. What drew you to the sport?
I wanted to just do it just to stay in shape for football, but I started growing a love for it, and I just wanted to keep doing it because I could see myself getting better. I was kind of more advanced than everybody else when I first got in the gym.
Okay. How many fights have you had?
17.
Okay. Record?
9-8 right now.
Okay. All right. So looking forward to the show in March, huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ramon, for people out there, they see professional boxing on TV.
Right.
Explain to them what happens In the amateur gym, Golden Glove boxers. Explain how that's a little different.
It's different because, for one, fighting amateur boxing, you only got 3 rounds and go 3 minutes fast.
Yeah.
It goes fast. They don't seem fast when you're in there, but when you get out, you're like, dang, it's over in 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Where a pro, you can pick up rounds, you can slow down rounds, you can lose a round, and you try to figure out your opponent, and you can set up traps, a lot of different traps, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the difference, but you have to work even harder to fight longer. So,
And I think people understand, like with Golden Gloves, I mean, these are young athletes being trained. So you try to match skill levels. You're not going to find you don't go to see first round knockouts, all that kind of stuff.
It's not really that much.
And for people who haven't been, it's not that what you see on TV, but it's very entertaining. The crowds get in there cheering for these young people.
Yes.
You find yourself really getting caught up in the fights, and like everywhere, you might not know any kids. You pick which one you want to cheer for. Don't know anything about them. I like his family. I want to cheer for him.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, it's really an exciting environment. And people now, family-oriented environment.
Yes.
These families, they travel with these young guys. I say young guys, younger than me, but really what may surprise people, real family-oriented when you get to Golden Gloves. I want to make sure we talk about this. I know, you don't have to tell me, you put your time, your money, your energy into the club. We want to talk about sponsorships, how people can help, if they want to help out the club, and who they can contact to do those things.
They have to TCB Boxing, or you have to go to Temple Methodist Church and donate. That's my umbrella.
Okay.
Yes, excuse me, my voice is so gone. Organization, nonprofit.
Okay.
Organization. So.
Okay.
Donations is a donation.
Yes, whatever you take anything.
Yes.
Yeah. Are there some other guys working with you to train the fighters?
Yes, I got a guy, we call him Turk. I'm Anthony, he helps, and Miss Jackson, she helps. Mm-hmm. I had her son about a year and a half, and she's a she's something else, but I love her. Miss Jackson Sims.
Oh, okay, catch you. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, good. Now, how many fighters will you have in the show in March?
In the show, I have, I suppose I have four. I have Cinco, mm-hmm. I have Kobe Lewis. My, that's my star right there. That guy is, like you said, he's ahead of his game. He catch on with a lot of stuff easy.
Okay.
But his problem is he'll catch. If he don't understand right then and there, it throws him for a loop.
Okay.
And he got to, but God give him that, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, where he started getting the ability. Like, well, let me just take it in. Okay. I don't understand it right now. I catch on to it mm-hmm. because he's so used to catching on to everything. Mm-hmm. And then I have another guy like that too, Makai Knox like that. He's supposed to fight. And I got Makai Jackson Sims fighting mm-hmm. that night. And that'll be four people. I'm supposed to have fight for Golden Gloves.
Okay. Kobe, let me ask you this. You know, you talk about he came and you picked it up and you know, you got athletic ability, but as you've gotten into it, talk about the mental aspect of training and getting in that ring and competing.
The mental aspect, it's a lot. It's a lot. You gotta pick up stuff on the fly. You gotta, even though if he land a good punch, you gotta come back with three or four more. He always tell me to keep going. Don't. It's always like a present. It's just always problems is gonna come up in the boxing ring. You might be the best, like Floyd Mayweather. Always, you might be the best, but you still gotta work like you still in the slums. Like, so you always gotta keep working, keep going. So that's mm-hmm. that's the main goal.
Okay. When young guys come in, when they start in the gym, what's the biggest hurdle you have to overcome with getting them
fundamentals? Fundamentals.
Uh-huh.
Everybody wanted. Oh, I saw YouTube. I saw this. I can do. And they do all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And what I mostly do to young kids when they 13, they think they too. And I say, yeah, I got them. I get in the ring with them. I stop them.
Uh-huh.
And I let them hit me, catch me in the face. I catch them with body shots and uh-huh. stuff like that. When I stop and I tell them, I say, that's why I try to teach you fundamentals so you can take care of yourself.
Yeah.
I want to be, I said, one day I won't be here. Mm-hmm. So I want to know that I gave you everything I supposed to give you while I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
So take advantage of it.
Okay.
You know, a house can't stand without a foundation.
Sure.
And that's the main thing. Anything, you got to have the foundation.
So now what age group are you working with?
10 and up.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to start from doing 12 and up because I got a 10-year-old. He's something else. I love him to death, but he doing everything except what he's supposed to do. So
is that one of the biggest challenges, getting them focused?
Yes, getting them focused. It's getting them focused. But like I said, I got a lot of kids that catch on and love doing what I tell them to do. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? But it's just only one or two. But that's uh-huh. anywhere you go, you know?
Sure, sure. Kobe, when you talk to your friends, people your age group, what surprises them? What do they ask you the most about boxing?
The discipline. You know, uh-huh. I can't eat certain foods. I gotta stay in shape every 365 days out the year. You gotta stay moving, stay active. It ain't like football when you could just take a little break and all that. And basketball, we could take a little break. Uh-huh. You gotta stay disciplined and stay to your craft. You gotta always work on your craft. Your craft ain't never gonna be done. You always gotta improve on something.
Okay. Okay. Have you been able to recruit any other people to come to try it out?
I try, you know, they'll give it like a good like week or two, but coach always break them down like, oh, snap, like you really do this the whole time? I'm every day, 5 to 7, every day.
Yeah, it looks good. Everybody on YouTube does it.
Oh, man, he brought a couple of people in. They look good. You go, oh, this is this. Man, if I make them run the stairs, do sprints or something, or make them do this and that and this, the next day, be like, well, I ain't coming back tomorrow.
One day, 1%.
Yeah.
True.
Do you have any females fighting at the gym?
I have one.
Mm-hmm.
She came for a while and then she left, but I don't know. I don't know if her mom moved or what happened. Mm-hmm. So,
but yeah. you welcome her. You don't have.
I welcome females because, be honest, females work hard. When they work hard and they dedicate themselves. They don't mm-hmm. look the showboat. They look the win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So will there be females don't fight against males in Golden
Gloves. No, okay. No.
Yeah, I don't think that's anywhere in boxes. Well, so it'll be females at the Golden Gloves.
Well, as a girl, she came to my show, but I used to work out with a little 13-year-old girl. Uh-huh. She number one in I think she's number one in the United States right now. Okay. First, she was like number six. She's like number one. She beat the number one girl, but she only like 12, 13-year-old. She'll fight boys, whatever. Her daddy put against boys. She's from Detroit, and she can fight. I was doing combinations with her, teaching her this, that, and this. Uh-huh. I mean, she catch on the fly. Yeah. And okay. She's just an amazing young lady. I just pray to God that she stick with it if I can see her later in the future and be like, I remember her, you know?
Yeah. Is what is the state of boxing now? You notice times it's popular, times it's less popular. You know, the whole martial arts thing's kind of popular. Where is boxing at these days?
I think boxing is number one and number two. Well, I'll put it number in the top three. Mm-hmm. No matter whenever you look, turn around, they're talking about Bud Crawford, or they're talking about Tank Davis, or they, Keyshawn Davis.
Yeah, it seems no matter what, those big shows, the fights come around, and people tune in, they still watch.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. How about here in Muskegon? Still getting now. There's a couple other clubs in Muskegon, right?
Muskegon Rec. That's okay. The gym I. Okay. Left. I used to coach at.
Okay. Yes. And you trained at Temple Methodist too?
Yes.
Okay. You guys, those clubs here, do you guys interact with each other?
Yes. I don't have, my thing is, I go back and forth. It don't bother me at all. It's about helping these kids. It ain't about me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's always about giving back.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. For parents out there that might be concerned, it's like, you know, I don't know, my 10, 11, 12-year-old, no, look like you might hurt them. Kind of put those fears to rest about the safety, what goes on, that they might feel comfortable bringing their kids to a boxing gym.
Well, you bring your kid to the boxing gym before he can learn how to protect himself. Mm-hmm. Learn how to pick up his guard. I teach defense first. I teach, like I say, fundamentals. Mm-hmm. Protect yourself first, and that's what you want. You want to teach them how to protect yourself, mm-hmm. you know, and it helps them. Then when you start becoming disciplined and aware of your surroundings, things of that nature, you only want to be bothered or be around when you see somebody doing something. That's what saved me. Be honest. I'm gone. I don't have time for it. It give you time for bull jump. Mm-hmm. You don't have time for it.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good. Kobe, how has it helped you in your personal life, the discipline and stuff from boxing? How has it helped you?
It helped me a lot. It helped me control myself, control my anger. Put me in the right places at the right time. I know everybody my age and younger than me always get into bad things and all that, but I always kept my head straight and always helped me focus and stay out the limelight, stay in the shadows and keep working.
All right. So. And Kobe, when you lay down a dream at night, do you see yourself Olympic boxing, professional boxing? What do you think? What's your goals?
I see myself as a world champion. I want to be Muskegon's world champion. I want to put the face on the mat for Muskegon. I always want to make us look good, even though they say we bad and all that. But I know we got some good, kind and loyal people in this Muskegon. So I always want to just be the best and show us the best.
All right. So, and has your family been to your shows? Have been supportive of your boxing career?
All the time. They always tell me to keep working. They love the growth that they seen me in these last 3 years, and they always tell me to keep pushing, just keep going.
Okay. Have they seen the growth in the gym as well as outside with your personal life or personal responsibility?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yes, of course. Yeah. They see my first – I can show you my first videos of boxing and show you the recent ones, and you can see the complete, totally difference. I got better, faster, stronger, smarter, everything.
Okay. Good, good.
But he had one problem though. I know one person he can't whoop.
Oh, who was that?
His daughter.
I can't get her.
She comes to the gym and runs the gym. I love this little baby.
How old is your daughter?
She's four years old. Yeah.
Let me tell you, but you ain't gonna never win a fight with a daughter. I tell you not.
That's ever. What I know that.
You always
sure.
Take a TKO there.
No, she get everything she want out of me, anything.
Yeah. So she like coming up watching you train.
Yeah, I shadow box in front of her. She be like, "Daddy, let's fight." I'm like, "Let's go." She just loves it. She know her daddy one of the best. So she knows she ain't worried about me in that ring.
Oh, that's good. I remember my little nephew was coming up there with his son, and his he 3 years old getting his little stance. So yes. He's having a lot of fun with that.
You know who his nephew is, don't you?
No, who is
one
nephew?
Of the best fighters? You're like, wow, he got it all, but he don't see it. Jason Jackson.
Jason. Oh, I can't believe, man. Jason, hey, that's my guy.
That guy can fight, man.
He can fight for sure.
I'll tell him we've had a chance to talk today.
Yeah, got to.
All right. So, Ramon, again, we got the show coming up on March 13th.
14th and 15th.
March 13th, 14th, 15th. Three mm-hmm. days.
Yes.
You know, you fight
Friday through Sunday.
Days.
Yeah.
So now this is the Michigan Golden Gloves or West Michigan?
West Michigan Golden Gloves.
So the fighters from this will then go on to?
To the state and Grand Rapids again at Aquinas College.
Okay.
That'll be April the 11th and 12th. That's my birthday, yes.
Okay. And so you go from the West Michigan to the Michigan, then there from there you go to?
Nationals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a chance to just continue to?
Keep on
pre-progressing. That's
exciting. Yes.
And you've had a couple of fighters go to the Nationals.
Yes.
Man, I know. They probably something they never saw when they first put on those gloves.
Yes, Adrian Pepito, mm-hmm. man, came from nothing, and he really wanted it. Mm-hmm. And his first fight fighting under me, man, it was crazy because he was fighting like he was a southpaw. And I said, no, that ain't your style, is it? And he's like, what you mean? I had to show him how to box mm-hmm. Orthodox. And then he said, I feel weird. He got his first fight and he lost. He was mad at me. I said, listen, it's gonna get better, just believe and trust in me. Uh-huh. And we started working together, man. After that, he shot like a bullet. I think he won like 14 fights straight. But see, Asian type of person, you show him, he'll look at you, do it like you tell him to do it, and go after it and believe in, he trusts in your word. He'd be like, okay, you say that, you I better, you know, and he'll go for it. And he ended up won Golden Glove. No, I think he that year he came Golden Glove run-up champion. And then the next year, he won Golden Gloves, and then he went to the Army from that.
Oh,
it changed his life.
Oh, okay.
So he came from sleeping on the floor mm-hmm. to going to the service, okay. and it changed his life. Now he have a, he's a married man, see, and he's back here, and he's doing good. He talking about fighting Golden Gloves this year to go to the Nationals before he can go pro. Okay. I told him I got him, you know what I'm saying? It's like a conflict of interest because he come from a Skeegan gym. I coached him there, but I say, listen, don't get caught up in that. I'm here for you. Yeah. Ain't about the gym, it's about you, period.
You
so
help, I'm there for you.
I'm there. I taught you how to fight. I show you how to, you know, you work your angles, and I know when to tell you pick it up, when not to. So okay. I'm there. That's it.
You know, let me ask you this. Yeah. For you as a coach, what's the most satisfying part of what you do?
Changing their lives. Mm-hmm. When I see they doing the best they can do as a human being, mm-hmm. that's ultimate. You win. Mm-hmm. I don't care about you getting in the ring and lose. I care about you getting in the ring and lose and not doing your best. Mm-hmm. Do your best. Then you're always a champion. Mm-hmm. At my show, I gave away trophies and medals. And on the medals, say first place. Mm-hmm. People's like, why you got trophies? Why are you giving medals like that? I was like, because if you go in there and you fight, you come in first place anyway. Mm-hmm. So it ain't about the wins and losing. And I tell Kobe that it ain't about the wins and losing. It's about what you put together and you doing your best. Mm-hmm. Don't barely get along. Get along. Get through there. Yeah. You know? There's people way before us, our forefathers and stuff, died for us to have this opportunity. Mm-hmm. So what you going to do with it? Yeah. Do your best.
You know, and I see you around town. You know, you're a boxing coach, but I see you at basketball, football games.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all the kids know you.
Yeah.
You know, and so I know I see you support other sports, but do you still see yourself as a little kid running around Muskegon Heights? You know,
man, I miss it. I'm telling you, yeah. I think our era was the best era as coming up in the 70s and the 80s. I think that was the best, almost the best eras, because like I was talking in a meeting yesterday, I was like, we used to go to each, you don't have to worry about getting hungry, because you can go eat a pear off one tree, go to another, eat an apple, cherry tree. You know, you had all these things available to you. We didn't have to go steal or rob nobody and talk about them hungry. Yeah. It wasn't no excuse.
That's the challenge of time, is, you know, like trying to get kids to understand, have some fun.
Yes.
Box, play football, play basketball, but man, this is the time of life to do that before you get bills and family.
Oh, car notes, it changed once you become grown.
This
yes.
is the time to just have fun and do that.
So, yes.
You know, so get them to understand that and trying to create that environment for them. All right. Hey, Kobe, before we close out, hey, invite people to come out to the show and see you fight in March.
Oh, yeah. Hey, come to Connors College the 13th through the 14th, because I'm definitely gonna be in the
15th to the 15th.
I'm definitely gonna be in them state finals, man. Trying to show off for the TCB boxing and Muskegon area. So come out and support the Golden Gloves.
All right. Thanks a lot, Kobe. We appreciate it. We wish you the best, man. Okay.
See you at practice.
See you at practice. I'll be running.
All right.
Hey, Ramon, hey, thank you so much, man, for coming in here.
Thank you.
More importantly, man, let me thank you for the time, the energy, the effort you put into these young people in our community, man.
Thanks, man. But it ain't about me. It's God, man.
Yeah. We got.
We have to give it back. I have to give back.
Yeah. Well, don't know what the way to live, but give it back.
Right. So
appreciate you, brother.
No problem.
Thank you so much for coming on the program. Folks, this is Community Focus. Meet us every Friday at 2 o'clock. More exciting guests, more people committed to our community, just like Brother Avery here. All right. Be blessed. Go out and be a blessing. We'll see you next week.